Come on! Come on! I know the signal's weak, but it's all we've got! No! No, 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 no! Just follow the time trace! Look, I know, but it's the only way we're going to get through. Yes, yes, that's it! Yes, that looks promising. Or dangerous. Or both. I wonder which it might... Ooh.
No! If you would step this way, Sir Roderick, dinner will be served at 8 o'clock.
No, 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 no.
What?
Where am I? Hello. I'm the doctor, by the way.
Of course, Sir Roderick, the nation's premier nerve specialist. I have read your books with great interest, sir, and found them invaluable in diagnosing my aunt, who mistakenly believed herself to be a gentleman.
Right. Good. Glad to hear it. Keep it up. Now, I'm looking for someone. He's about so...
The guests are all in the drawing room, sir. If you were looking for someone in particular, then I am sure he will be in there. Now, if you would allow me, sir... Sir Roderick Glossop.
Good evening, gentlemen. I'm looking for...
Good evening, Sir Roderick. It's an honour to meet you. I'm Spode, Roderick Spode. It really is an honour, sir. That volume you wrote about the mental deficiencies of the criminal classes and how you can spot them from up to 30 yards away has influenced me greatly in my political career. I remember a time...
I'm Cheesewright, Darcy Cheesewright. It's a pleasure to have a man like you with us this weekend. We need someone like you. There's been a theft.
I was coming to that.
Not quick enough, old man. The thief may already be halfway to London, and we've no idea who he is.
But with Sir Roderick...
And all his wealth of knowledge and experience of the criminal classes...
I should be able to spot him. Provided he's not more than 30 yards away.
Ah, ha, ha, richly comic, sir.
What? Oh, yes! Ha, ha, ha! Very droll, sir.
It is our belief that the man behind this theft is still in situ.
Yes, we believe the bounder is one of the guests, or one of the staff, and that he's still here.
What makes you think that?
Arrogance.
Oh, come now. I wouldn't have said you were arrogant. Opinionated, a trifle overblown, perhaps, but...
The arrogance of the criminal, I mean. He would think himself so clever that he stays behind to avoid suspicion, and then strikes again tonight.
I see. And what do you propose you might do when you catch him?
I will beat him to a jelly, and then let the local police take him away to jail, without the option.
I too will beat him to a pulp before letting the constabulary have what remains of his miserable carcass.
Of course, jail will be too good for him. Such people should be transported to the colonies. The penal servitude is the price they pay for disrupting society.
Transportation is all well and good, but those who are hanged never reoffend. The day the judiciary lost their stomach for hanging thieves was a very sad day indeed.
Quite so, quite so. If whoever stole the spoons knew he would be hanged by the neck until he be dead, he may well have thought better of it.
I've heard that in Persia, they chop a thief's hands off as a warning.
What an excellent system! When I am elected to Parliament, I shall give much thought to a bill advocating such a system. Perhaps even hanging a thief's family as a deterrent to those who may be thinking of raising criminals.
Spoons? Did someone mention spoons?
Are these two being Neanderthals again? I've heard just about enough. Anyone would think this was the 19th century with their talk of transportation and hanging. I'm sure you'd agree, Sir Roderick, that the best thing to do with criminals is to try to understand them and reform them on a psychological level rather than inflicting crude physical punishments that only truly serve to satisfy the baser urges of the men who perform them.
Absolute poppycock, Lady Florence. I know you're a lady, and I wouldn't normally swear in front of a lady, but you're talking absolute balderdash.
Yes, quite so. Once you start trying to understand criminals, you can kiss goodbye to your family silver and your pocket watch. I'm sure Sir Roderick would agree.
What? Oh, well, I have to say... I'm starving.
If you give them an inch, they will steal a yard. These people are clearly rotten to the core, and none of your mental mumbo-jumbo, no offence, Sir Roderick, will change that.
How would you know, Mr. Spode? I doubt you've ever taken the time to speak to one of these wretches and find out what motivates them to commit crimes.
What happened to dinner?
I'm sorry?
We seem to have skipped dinner. I'm sure I heard the gong.
Ah! Yes, very witty, Sir Roderick. Yes, it does seem as if Mr. Spode has been hammering on about his barbaric beliefs for ever such a long time, and it's as if we've never been away from the drawing room.
No, really. I've not been away from the drawing room. At least I don't think I have.
Ha! It seems the great nerve specialist has been overdoing the claret. I knew that pretense of only drinking lemon squash was just a facade.
Nonsense! Lady Glossop and I only drink... Lady Glossop? Who's Lady Glossop?
My word! You've had a skinful if you can't even remember your own wife!
But that's just it. I do remember her. I remember her very clearly, but... But I don't have a wife.
I'd be very interested to know what Mr. Spode and Mr. Cheesewright would do to punish Sir Roderick's obvious drunkenness. I seem to recall... of you opining a mandatory 30 days in Chokey for a first offence and a horsewhipping in a town square for repeat offenders.
I hardly think you can apply the same standards to a gentleman as you would to a common oik.
Exactly. Sir Roderick is made the right stuff and won't let his drunkenness spill over to the detriment of society.
I really am not a drunk. I've just discovered a previously unnoticed wife, that's all.
I thought as much. You're nothing more than hypocrites. Crude, nasty, unthinking brutes who see their own happy accident of birth as a platform from which to shout forth unsubstantiated and unscientific drivel about things they don't have even the slightest wish to properly understand. You two are a disgrace. And the sooner people like you are swept away by the sort of revolution we've seen from our Bolshevik brothers and sisters in Russia, the better.
Things are becoming difficult.
This is not a productive conversation.
We cannot learn anything from this bickering.
We must edit them.
Find and replace.
Activate the cursor.
I'm not going to stand here and listen to Bolshe talk.
I had no idea she was such a red spode. I really must have words with her father, old Warplesdon, about this. I can't marry a red.
Ah, so the engagement's on again, is it?
He's keen as mustard.
I wouldn't marry you if you were the last man in England.
Warplesdon thinks spring next year would be best.
Let's hope we catch this thief before then, or he'll be away with the wedding presents before you've even signed her up as Mrs. Darcy Cheesewright.
Quite right. Get the fellow flogged.
Or hanged.
Or hanged before the festivities can begin.
You men make me sick. One of these days I'll swear I'll...
Excuse me, my dear. I was wondering if I might have a word with you young people in private.
Of course, Lord Emsworth.
Oh, Glossop, old man. There are a couple of chaps over there who are quite keen to meet you. I think they know your nephew.
Oh, thank goodness. Hint taken.
And none of your so mental mumbo-jumbo.
Exactly.
What, hell? Good evening. I don't suppose you've seen a young chap called Tom, have you? He's about so high, dark hair, probably wearing some sort of T-shirt... with Next emblazoned upon the breast, not the sort of thing you would expect a gentleman to be wearing, of course.
Don't think so. What about your Bingo? Hmm? Have you seen this chap Sir Roderick is looking for?
How do you expect me to notice chaps when she's in the room? Oh, Chaffy, she's an angel. I would even go so far as to say she's the most beautiful woman in the world.
Who?
Lady Florence, of course. In case you hadn't noticed, she's both the only contender for the title of the most beautiful woman in the world, and the only actual woman in this room.
Is she? I hadn't really noticed. I only have eyes for Pauline.
Who? Oh yes, the one who keeps being locked on a yacht by her father. I could never love an American. There's too much swimming involved. Florence would never make me swim anywhere. That's why I love her.
So you two are telling me you haven't seen Tom anywhere?
Who?
Tom?
About so high. I don't think so, old chap. He might have been one of those minstrels we had in Devon last summer. A couple of those were so high.
That doesn't sound likely. Thank you all the same.
Do you think I should serenade Florence from beneath her bedroom window?
Can you sing?
No, but I can play the piano.
Wouldn't it be a bit tricky to get a piano into the garden, old chap?
True. Besides, she doesn't really like music.
Who doesn't? Pauline?
Florence, of course.
Transportation is the only solution. I've said it before, and I'll say it again.
Terribly sad that bad people do bad things, but we're ever, ever so lucky to have men like you, Mr. Spode, to look after us. Don't you agree, Sir Wedwick?
Oh, I'm not so sure. Why are you speaking like that, Lady Florence?
Oh, silly Sir Wedwick! Florence is my sister! I'm Madeline Cray!
Madeline Cray? But you were Florence Cray a moment ago. Hold on. Florence Cray. Why does that name sound so familiar?
Maybe you know my fiancé, Augustus. Augustus Finknuttle.
Finknuttle. Finknuttle. Wait, Gussie Finknuttle. Small chap, about so high. A lot to say about the mating season of the lesser-spotted newt.
I believe some of his coarser friends called him that.
Well, that should make you Madeline Bassett, not Madeline Cray. She doesn't exist.
I don't know what you mean. Do you know what he means, Mr. Spode?
He's a secret drinker, my dear. You'll do well this weekend not to pay much heed to him after sunset at Blandings, since he's away from Lady Glossop's beady eye.
Of course! Spode, Stilton, Madeline Bassett, Florence Cray. You're all fictional characters. None of this is real. That's why I can remember a wife. Sometimes. Roderick Glossop had a wife for a while. But why on earth do I think I'm Roderick Glossop anyway? I've never thought I was Roderick Glossop before.
Cheese right, old chap. What's the form when the loony doctor is the one that goes a bit peculiar?
Good point, old man. If it were you or I, we'd get Sir Roderick to recommend a quiet place in the country with padded walls and happy tablets for a month or two. But when it's Glossop himself, it would be a bit rude to go over his head and telephone one of his professional colleagues.
Glossop, old chap, hypothetically speaking, is there any way around here you'd recommend if someone was having a spot of nerve trouble? No one in particular. It's just something I've often wondered, that's all.
Well, there's a quiet little sanatorium in Downhall St. Paget that's terribly discreet. Caters for all forms of tiredness and insanity. And furthermore... Oh, wait. No, there isn't. There's no such place. None of this is real. There is no Downhall St. Paget. There's only the grounds and those bits of the village that the author cared to create. This is a world of fiction, and somehow I've become trapped in it.
How can this have happened?
This is not part of the story.
This has ceased to be informative.
We must edit them.
Find and replace.
Activate the cursor.
I say, Glossop, old man, would you do me the most enormous favour? I've left my copy of Whiffle on the Care of the Pig in my study, and I'd be most terribly grateful if you'd pop and get it for me. That young man, Chuffnell, was asking me advice on carrots, quantity, quality, chunk size, and so on, and I know Whiffle has something wise to say on the matter.
Oh, certainly. Is it left along the corridor and left again?
Oh, it's something like that. You can't miss it.
Yes, well, if I'm not back by morning, cancel my milk and call the President of the Time Lords.
Righto. Sorry?
Never mind.
Whiffle, whiffle. Whiffle, whiffle, whiffle. Whiffle, whiffle, whiffle. Ah! Well thumbed and much loved. This must be it. Whiffle on the Care of the Pig. A book that doesn't really exist. Which is rather suggestive, don't you think, Doctor? Yes, I think I do, Doctor. I must get this habit sorted out.
There he is.
Look, Emsworth. He's trying to steal a book of yours, too.
What?
You might as well confess, Glossop. We know it was you who took the antique silver spoons. You're in very hot water.
And what would a noted nerve specialist want with antique spoons, hm? I am not even in the habit of drinking antique tea.
Nerve specialist? Are you trying to claim something of your uncle's expertise has rubbed off on you? What absolute drivel. Grab him, Spode.
You're making a mistake. I'm Sir Roderick Glossop. You know me.
You mean you're Hildebrand Glossop, known to your equally disreputable friends as Tuppy, and chief suspect in the theft of some extremely valuable silverware.
Tuppy Glossop. I was Sir Roderick Glossop only 2 minutes ago before I was sent to fetch this book by Lord Emsworth himself.
Steal the book, you mean?
Lord Emsworth, did you or did you not ask me to get your copy of Whiffle?
The Whiffle, the Doctor, I don't remember asking you, but I don't remember a lot of things, at least as far as I remember. It's possible, I suppose. Can't think why anyone would want to steal a rather old copy of Whiffle. I've been meaning to get the new edition with more on promoting stoutness in the female, but Connie won't hear of it. She says that if I'm allowed to go to London to buy a book, I'll end up involved in debauchery. Chance would be a fine thing. There's not much debauchery up at the Conservative Club. Not on a Tuesday, anyway. Wednesday, oh yes, that's when we have the debauchery. Madame Florentine comes in. She has a... I'm whiffling.
So he might be telling the truth then.
He's still our number one suspect, though.
Definitely our number one suspect.
Should we keep an eye on him?
We shall be hawks.
Does that mean you'll be letting me go any time soon?
Bah, I suppose so, you miserable worm.
Now, now I've got my windpipe back, there is something you need to know. Something very strange is happening here. You're all fictional characters, and some of you have even changed from one character to another during the course of the evening. Even I'm being affected by whatever's going on here. And I can't help but feel that I do know you somehow. But let's not play whatever game is being played here. There aren't any spoons. It's all just a ruse to keep you busy while they, whoever they are, do whatever it is they're doing.
The boy's mad. Does anyone have Sir Roderick's telephone number? Or failing that, the number of that quiet little sanatorium in Downhall St. Paget?
Downhall St. Paget? How do you know about the quiet little sanatorium in Downhall St. Paget if I wasn't Sir Roderick Glossop earlier? You see, things aren't quite making sense, are they?
Nonsense. Spode has an aunt with nerve trouble, and she spent time in Downhall St. Paget. I'm sorry, Spode. Not something you wanted bandying around, but there was no alternative.
She was a distant aunt on my mother's side. Nothing to do with me. There's no history of mental illness on my side of the family.
Here, here.
I'm a tiny bit confused. Is Mr. Glossop the thief or not? I don't think I shall sleep tonight if I know there is a thief on the same landing as me.
I'm not a thief. No more so than you're Madeline Bassett, anyway.
Quay! Madeline Quay! I don't know who this Madeline Bassett is that you keep mentioning.
Now that is something else that doesn't make sense. I ran into this sort of thing before, and Gulliver and his lot could only say words that had originally been written for them. But you,
All of you seem to be able to adapt and evolve into new characters at will. But whose will? Certainly not your own. I mean, you cope and you rationalise, but I don't think you're making your own decisions.
Look here, old man. I don't pretend to understand your drunkenness or madness or kleptomania or whatever fashionable word you use, but I think I've got something in my study that it might help calm everything down. Would you mind terribly helping me with it?
Why not? I know the way.
Righto, are you okay? Yes, you see, it's like this, old man. You are Tappy Glossop, and you are here for the weekend to do a spot of shooting with Cheesewright and Spode. You're not Sir Roderick, you're not anyone else, and there is nothing unusual about this house party. You are Tappy Glossop, and everything here is perfectly normal.
I'm Tappy Glossop.
When they accuse you of stealing the spoons, you will give them your alibi. You were with me at the time the theft occurred. I will back up your story that we were discussing pickswill and straw ratios, and the matter will then rest. Do you understand?
Everything's perfectly normal.
Precisely. Perfectly normal. Excellent. Do you fancy a cigar, old chap? I've got some rather splendid ones in my study. Rolled on the thighs of Caribbean maidens, if you can credit it.
Oh, the only way to roll them. But I'm afraid I don't smoke.
Of course you smoke. Everyone smokes.
Everyone in your book, perhaps. But I'm not one of your fictional characters.
You mean you know?
I do now. I do now.
Who is he?
Why did Emsworth give us away?
Emsworth is a fool.
We must edit them.
Find and replace.
Not this time. Word Chief, you must do a rewrite.
New pages.
Speech!
Your Lordship, I'm so glad to see you.
What is it, Beach?
I'm afraid there's been an incident.
What sort of an incident?
An accident.
What sort of an accident?
A fatal accident, and it looks to me as if it might have been deliberate.
What on earth do you mean, Beach?
The parlourmaid is dead. She's been murdered. In her hand with a blood-stained antique silver spoon.
That could only mean she discovered who had stolen the spoons and was killed by our thief to stop her telling anyone.
Someone call the police!
I've already done so, sir.
Good man. Do you think we should restrain Glossop?
He is the only suspect after all.
Not again! Mind the suit! Oh, goodness! You've got the wrong person. I've not killed anyone all week. I don't believe there even is a dead parlour maid.
Ha! How do you know it was the parlour maid if you didn't kill her? Beach just said it was a maid.
Actually, sir, I did say it was the parlour.
You said it was the maid. You only said it was the maid.
Precisely, Mr. Spode. I only said it was the maid. Only the murderer would know it was the parlour maid.
That'll be the police!
What's going on here, then?
Tom! Tom! Tom, it's me! It's the doctor!
I heard there'd been a murder here.
Yes, and we've caught the killer.
Ah, now, that's for me to say, sir. We don't like members of the public going round doing our job for us. We've had training in spotting murderers. Have you?
Well, no.
Then I think you can leave it to me from here on. Come on, Sonny, down to the station with me.
Oh, brilliant. Pretend to be the policeman. We make a run for it back to the TARDIS. We'll have to find it, of course, but that's a minor detail. But
But how did you get away when the building was sold on?
I don't know what you're talking about, sir. I'm Constable Smith, and you're under arrest for killing that nice Maudie Butterwick.
No, you're Tom.
Tom? No, I'm Claude. Claude Smith.
Then I'm sorry.
Why?
For being shorter than you and having leverage.
Stop him! Come back and let us hang you, you murdering swine.
Hanging's too good for him.
Not now, Darcy.
Righto.
Kitchen. I need to find the kitchen. Kitchens mean backdoors. Backdoors means outsides. Outsides means escape. Otherwise, how else would the servants get in? They only like servants coming in the back way. Ah, I only hope it isn't a full moon out tonight. Why are the kitchens always so hard to find in these old houses? Oh, right, servants.
Come on, you men! He's getting away!
I say, should we really be chasing a murderer? Might he not murder us as well? We should leave it to Smith. He's the policeman.
There are five of us and only one of him. I'd like to see him try and murder all five of us.
I wouldn't. He might not manage all five, but what if he knocks off a couple of us before the rest can intervene? I'm no turf accountant, but the odds of being one out of the two of the five that he kills must be...
He won't kill anyone except over my dead body.
Was that meant to be funny?
No. Why?
Now look here, I'm the police, and if anyone is going to stop him killing anyone here, then it's going to be me, okay?
What the blazes?
Sorry about that. Didn't know the blessed thing was loaded. Thought it might be useful, though.
We'll have none of that, thank you very much, your lordship. I've just got my truncheon and my handcuffs, and that'll be plenty.
You better give me the pistol, your lordship, just to be on the safe side, just in case the bounder doesn't fancy the gallows.
Right, this one. No, this one. Oh, I've got to find that kitchen. Ah, that looks promising. Smoke always looks promising, because where there's smoke, there's cooking.
Or just wanton arson.
Well, look, I wonder if they'll do me some toast. I am absolutely starving.
Now, this is not smoke.
I feel... ooh, something's trying to push me back. It's a time zone barrier. And if they're processed, they won't be able to follow me in there. So I'm safe so long as I stay here.
But that won't get me any nearer to discovering what's going on, where the TARDIS is, or how to get Tom back to normal with it. I suppose I'll just have to see where and when it's on the other side of this barrier.
And that, mon ami, is how I finally worked out that the murder of Lord Antisham could only have been committed by the Doctor.
What?